Mom would give us cereal, and she'd be like, here you go. I'd be like, oh, this is really good. She'll be like, it's good for you, too. Nah! Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special spooky month beginnings.
Ooh,
I...
Gave me the shivers.
Shiver me, Brothers Movie Factory. Here we are, everyone, into October Spooky Month. Last year for October Spooky Month, we watched a handful of movies. We watched movies like Exorcist, Dracula, other horror classics like Tremors.
Spooky.
Yeah, spooky movies. So we are kicking off October Spooky Month here. We're going to be watching a lot of horror movies as we get through. But before we get into it, everybody, we are the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Maliva, the old gypsy woman.
I've never seen you before in my life. Like, who else is in this movie? The Wolf Man.
The Frankenstein Monster.
That's how I am, like, when I eat, like, a mushroom. I'm like, nah! Old wifey will be like, here, try strawberry. Nah!
Anytime you're doing something of a slight inconvenience.
Nah!
Hey, will you help me lift this? Will you do the taxes with me?
Mom would give us cereal, and she'd be like, here you go. I'd be like, oh, this is really good. She'll be like, it's good for you, too. Nah!
What else can we eat?
Everything. You want to do a podcast tonight? Nah! But joining me, as always, is Gus, the brother of the brother of the brother, sir, with honors. Joining me over there. And like I said, what we are doing this month is October Spooky Month. We're just getting into a little bit of the horror movies this month, a little bit of the classic scares. And so what we do here on the pod, if you're new to us, is every week we take a film from the past, we then watch that movie, and we take to the pod to discuss what's good, what's bad, what we liked, what we didn't, and then we submit that movie to the factory. That is where we take the film we just watched, and we would imagine what it will look like if it came out today. Who would direct it, who would star, who would compose. Same film, just modern booking, different cast and crew. Alrighty, then we close out with a question here and there. So, with that being said, today we watched classic, the fifth Frankenstein movie and the second Wolfman movie, correct?
Under the Universal umbrella.
Mm-hmm, and this is Wolfman meets Frankenstein, and boy,
no,
Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
Yes,
even though it's the second Wolfman movie, and he's in it for much longer. They do that because it was more marketable.
Sounds better.
Like F comes first in the alphabet in the dictionary. Put it in. Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, and
1943.
Yes, and diddly do, and It's a classic horror film. It's up there with the likes of... It was like in that era where these were like... not a genre in and of themselves, but they kind of were. Because you had like your Dracula... You go to the store, you see them all together for a reason. And they're all considered classic monster movies for a reason. But yeah, you had your Frankensteins, your Draculas, your Wolfmans... Bride of Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon. Invisible Dude.
The Mummy.
Kevin Bacon. What movie is that when he's invisible?
Hollow Man,
because they didn't have the rights.
Invisible was taken.
Yeah. Hollow Man. Invisible is silent.
Whoa.
Yeah, you get it. This is a classic film. Why did we decide? Because, I mean, I gave you full rein on this one. Why did you decide when you were looking at all the horror movies we had to watch? We watched Dracula last year. Mm. Why was this the one you chose to go with?
So, I saw this one had a bit of a variety in that it had two classic creatures amongst some other characters. I had been in a mood, I had a certain urge to partake in some Frankenstein goodies. I had a certain urge to partake in some Wolfman goodies. So why not get the best of both with Frankenstein meets the Wolfman? First ever pairing of two properties.
Now
in
we
a
have
film.
MCU.
Yeah. It all stemmed from this. You know, without Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, you would have never got.
It's not to say you never would have, but.
You never would have.
Stones.
Yeah, they set the stones.
The stones. I don't think that's the proper game, but we're doing it.
Any Godzilla versus any, like how about Freddy versus Jason?
Yeah.
How about Alien versus Predator?
Please no.
What are some other crossover verses?
There I mean, there's more. A lot in like comics and stuff as well. You do have like. I'm trying to think, there's one like G.I. Joe and Transformer or something like that. There's a handful like that. But in movies, I mean, you do have your big crossover events now in movies with your MCUs, with your DCEUs, which is dead, but still. Even on TV with the CW-verse or whatever, getting their crazy thing that they're going to be pulling people from like Smallville and like the animated series of Batman. But yeah, no, it definitely... it's such a smart idea. Like, take Frankenstein, this idea of Frankenstein, super successful. Take the idea of Wolfman. It's like, hey, why don't we come up with a story that uses both? Like, yeah, both?
Wolfman came out in 1941, and it was very successful for them. So they were working on a sequel to that. And Frankenstein was their other most successful property, so they found a way to work Wolfman's sequel into the Frankenstein world.
What's funny is I can't ever, like, this movie is, I don't remember it at all. I'm sure I did watch it at some point in my lifetime.
I'm sure, because I remember vividly watching this a lot growing up, especially when I started getting into these old films.
But I can't remember with these old films ever actually scaring me as a youngin. And I was a scaredy cat growing up, so I can't remember a time where these films scared me. Maybe that was because I had bigger and badder scares to worry about, like the ever real Michael Myers coming after me, or Freddy Krueger, or it's Ghostface, like realistic,
or Tremors,
or Tremors. Hey, that's Jaws on land. Calm down. Jaws. I had like bigger fears to deal with, so I don't know if these ever because they are cheesy. Now some of the effects, I mean, they hold up, but even right down to the fight in this film between Frankenstein and Wolfman, you're like, let's just jump around a little bit.
Yeah, they didn't have any big stunts in mind, I suppose.
I'm like, all right, here we go, Anakin versus Uh-oh.
Yeah.
My battle of heroes to be playing.
Yeah, like Bela Lugosi plays the Frankenstein monster, and he was getting up there in age at this point, and his body was not in good shape. Let's just say that. He's
not even acting. He's just walking that way now.
He's probably heavy into the morphine at this point.
He had a lot of problems, didn't he?
Yeah. So you probably weren't getting a lot of movement out of him in this role. Movie factoid. First movie factoid of the night. In the previous Frankenstein film, Ghost of Frankenstein.
Is he a ghost in that?
No. The monster is played by Lon Chaney Jr. in that. So when they were getting ready to make Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, which is the next one, the studio wanted Lon Chaney Jr. to play both the monster and Larry Talbot and the Wolfman.
Like, we have the ability. CGI him.
Yeah. The reason they decided not to do that was not because of, what was it? Because of the obvious reason. The reason they chose not to is because the makeup would take too long.
Like, how do we make this man three people?
Yeah. That and, it just would have taken too long. They were going to recycle another actress, Evelyn Ankers, who she was in Wolfman. She played the love interest in Wolfman. And she also played Elsa Frankenstein in Ghost of Frankenstein. So when it came time to do the sequel to the Wolfman, it was like, ah. So they get...
They wouldn't be able to get away with this nowadays. Like, Continuities, be damned back then.
Ilona Massey to play Baroness Elsa Frankenstein.
Movies at that time, too, seemed to have been more likened to stage acting and stuff, where like you could have like the switch out of characters and understudies, if you will, of like different things. So, you know, people knew the characters, the actors were big, but they weren't. I want to say that back then, were actors during these times, like right at the beginning of film, were the actors really the draw, or was it the story?
It was. I mean, just like today, it's really just, yeah, kind of a little bit of both. A lot of actors.
I knew it got bigger with like your Clark Gables and stuff. Yeah. But.
Well, this came out in 1943. Even though, like, talkies technically started in 1927. Still within 13, 16 years at this point, relatively new process. Also, a lot of these actors and actresses from the silent era.
Charlie Chaplin.
Sure.
He's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, or pretty much everyone you've seen in this film was acting in silent films at one point. And also, into the 30s and even into the 40s, some cases, a lot of studios weren't making talking films or sound films.
Yeah, I imagine that was just stupid. Stupid of them.
Just what they were used to.
Sticking to the norm.
Yeah, so...
Who wants to go to a movie and hear people talk?
Some of these actors, especially in this film, you can tell are from that old school era, just in how they talk.
Overacting.
Or they're theater actors, things like that, for sure. Theater actors were pretty big back then. What's Dwight Frye say? Dwight Frye says that line. He's like, there are no animals around here that kill people.
It's a wolf.
Yes, that's his cry.
Madeline. Snap out of it, Madeline.
If you could put Jimmy Stewart anywhere in this movie.
Well, he'd be Frankenstein and the Wolfman, mind you. We'd be both. Well, and Shani can't do it, but God damn it, Jimmy Stewart can.
That part where...
they're together?
Larry Talbot, played by Lon Chaney Jr., is breaking the ice.
Yeah.
The monster's frozen back there. Jimmy Stewart just be both.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how we do it.
He breaks it down. It's just a mirror.
Yeah. It'd be special effects. You know, I'd be doing my own commentary. Be like, see, now right now, that's not really me, but it is. It is. You see, it's a war hero. You know.
What's that have to do with it?
I'm a war. Don't ask me stupid questions.
When Spooky Month comes around, I get once again a certain urge to watch some of these old school creature features.
I always get in the mood to watch Young Frankenstein more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
When Halloween rolls around, that's always my go-to.
Suit yourself. I'm easy.
And that and Hocus Pocus. Those are my
that's hard. That's hard.
It's a big one.
We did Dracula last year. Dracula's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time. It is. So far this year already, I've watched Wolfman, I've watched Frankenstein, Goes to Frankenstein, and now Frankenstein meets Wolfman. I'm in Franken mood.
What's Franken fun to me? I'm kind of noticing between all these movies is like back then they just didn't know how to end movies satisfying ways.
Think of Dracula. Remember Dracula?
Yeah, they like stake them and then that's it.
And it's them like walking up the stairs, which wasn't even the way out.
Yeah, they're like, let's explore now that we've murdered someone.
Now that we're alone, let's take the grand tour.
Let's look around the castle and steal stuff.
What? Just remember the beast is mine.
How does Wolfman end? He just gets whapped in the head and that's it.
He gets whapped to death by his own father.
Ah.
And he slowly turns back into Larry Talbot, and then it shows the love interest and other dude. They embrace in like shock, like, oh. And it goes, da, 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 the end.
And you're like, thanks. Thank God. Thank God I get to go home and be happy.
The father died of grief shortly after.
And so did I.
And, you know, after the events of that first one, I guess you kind of have to give a brief recap of Wolfman to get into Frankenstein meets Wolfman. So Larry Talbot comes home after an 8-year absence to his father's estate, and he's kind of getting reacquainted with the town, and he gets a liking to a girl, and he's trying. I need to show you this scene. He lays the thick smooth on this chick.
He does not have the thick smooth in this film.
Now he's
mostly because he's just really preoccupied with dying.
With suicide. Yeah.
That's pretty much this whole film.
He's like, I would flirt with you, but
I need to die.
I'd much rather kill myself.
It's pretty much what it is throughout the entire film.
She's very interested, and he's like, fuck, I just want to die.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's like, geez, calm down, buddy.
But, so he's laying on the thick smooth with this chick, and he got her eating out the palm of his hand, see? And they go to get their fortunes read by some gypsy. Mm. And there's a werewolf attack, and he flies in to save the day, but gets bit.
Nah.
Kills the wolf, but he gets bit in the meantime.
How'd he kill that wolf?
Same way. He got a cane from Best Gal that had a silver handle on it. Beats the wolf to death.
Now, why does it kill that wolf, but it doesn't kill him? It's because it transferred it to him?
Good call. Didn't crush him good enough. He killed this wolf dead.
Got it into the brain.
Yeah, mushed it around a bit.
Yeah.
But the next day, they find this dead gypsy. And they're like, he's a murderer. And it turns into one of those stories. Like, he's trying to prove his innocence, and he's trying to prove he's not insane. Like, I killed a wolf, not a person. But then he starts to become a wolf because he was, yes, bitten.
Indeed. And that movie was terrifying to people.
Yeah, that's good.
I was telling you at the start, I asked you, I was like, isn't there a Full House episode where they watch this and they're terrified? And I asked you later in the movie, I'm like, were people really scared of this film when they came out? And you're like, it was about Full House level.
So in this sequel, we start with some grave robbers. And
he's caught me.
They woke the wolf man.
They wake that man up.
They wake him woke.
They were-woke him. Were-woke him.
Were-woke.
Were-woke. Stay were-woke this October.
I don't remember the poem, but it's like something.
Don't
something.
Even try. Something, something. This man's a werewolf.
When the wolf bane blooms, and
I never went
full.
To school, Belle. I just knew that werewolf rhymes with werewolf.
Werewolf.
Werewolf and werewolf, and I'm ready.
Why?
Why, Gaston? Because we had to kill the beast.
Shit. And, this story is about Larry Talbot, who's now not resurrected because he can't die. So he's on the search for how to permanently die.
I love how, like, they find him and he has a skull fracture. And the very, like, he wakes up and his eyes open. They're like, this means you're ready to talk. And the first thing they're like, how'd you get that skull fracture? I don't know. He must be lying.
Like, that's pretty much it. He's like, I don't remember. Suspicious.
Yes.
How'd you crack your fucking skull? I don't know.
That's odd. Doctor, have you ever seen something like this? It's called amnesia. I don't buy it.
What was that line? He's like, people with head injuries become more powerful.
That's literally, he's like, people with head injuries gain psychokinetic powers and can move things with their mind.
He didn't say that. No,
but he did basically infer that because he had a head injury, he could, like, basically leave his body and witness the murder of that cop.
Yeah, or he
like, felt it.
He's saying he basically believed it. Like, as in, like, he convinced himself that he saw it.
No, he was there.
he also is saying
he astro-projected, motherfucker. He was there.
The head injury caused him to believe that he turns into a wolf, too. Lycanthropy in that.
He's a lycanthrope. Lycanthrope. I almost said lycanmorph.
What the fuck? He's an animorph.
He's a beetleborg. Get him.
What's the Harry Potter? An animagus?
Animagus.
Yeah.
Harry, it's a trap. He's an animagus.
Oh, that's good shit.
Only one will die tonight. He's like, why'd you have to start with that?
Be like, Harry, I'm your godfather.
Harry, I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to kill that rat. So he should have started it. Instead, he is really fucking crazy.
But anyway.
We're talking about a different werewolf. Yeah,
different werewolf. We're talking about this wolf.
Yeah.
And, thus the journey begins to kill himself, really.
Yeah, this is the basis, like, his base motivation. He wants to, but it's like he wants to stop himself because he knows he can't. So he's trying to find the one way that he can stop himself. In my head, like, it's only when the moon hits him, correct?
I suppose.
I don't know if that's true or not. Can't Snape mix him up a potion?
Snape?
Yeah, that's what he's doing for.
Who are we talking about? What movie are we talking about?
I'm talking about werewolf. I'm just making another reference. Because that's how they get.
Snape's not around.
That's how they keep Lupin under control. Snape's mixing him a potion.
A little bit. But he goes away. Goes away for some time.
But he also has potion.
Well.
That's the first thing Sirius says. Did you take your potion tonight, Lupin?
Harry Potter is a fantasy. This is real life. This is a biography we watched tonight.
Indeed. You're right.
And
this happened in 1943.
Germany. One of my favorite scenes is when Larry goes and finds the old gypsy woman. She was in the first film. Mm-hmm. And he accidentally kills her son, who was a werewolf. And her son's character's name was Bela, played by Bela Lugosi.
I thought, like as soon as she said Bela, and I'm like, I wonder if that's a callback or something.
No, it was actually played by Bela Lugosi. And so she has the idea, hey, let's go find this Frankenfuck. And he has the ability to help you because he can create life. How about maybe he can take it away?
Yeah.
He discovered the mysteries of life. Maybe he can discover the mysteries of death.
So they don't know that, like, if they just shot him with, like, some silver, it would kill him? Like, they don't piece that together? Yeah, wouldn't that make
some sense? I read somewhere, it might have been in a deleted scene, but he can only be killed if he's in the werewolf form with silver.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But still... But you just strap him down, get him up and good.
That's
and
just logical.
Strap him down with some silver. When he turns, he's stuck. He can't do anything. Yeah.
What if he just buried him in cement?
True.
Wood chipper.
Wood chipper.
1940s.
That's what I thought. They're like, we can't kill the monster. We've tried everything. I'm like, what about cutting him up?
Oh yeah.
What about knocking his head off like a normal zombie?
They just jump into the monster real quick, because there is the Frankenstein monster in this movie. They discover the journal of Dr. Frankenstein.
Yes.
And I can't remember exactly what it says, but I did some quick math. It said something like the energy in the monster is equivalent to like 100 lives, and it was made of this many bodies.
I thought it said something like it was going to last over 100 years, too, or something.
Something like that. If you did the math of what he said, like that body, the monster can live up to 6,000 years. And played by a different actor every time.
Yes.
And
sometimes he's blind, sometimes he can talk, sometimes he has a wife, but we don't judge.
That's one of my favorite movie factoids, and I'll get to that here in a bit. But ultimately, Frankenstein's no good. He's not around no more. And then that leads to the next part of the journey, which is the Wolfman discovering the Frankenstein monster.
Yes.
I just want to stop.
How many people die in this film? Wolfman kills three people.
Yeah,
he kills the grave robber, the cop, and then a lady in the village.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Yes.
Other
than that, I don't think anyone else dies.
Yeah. How'd this movie make you feel?
Nostalgic, classic. I mean, as all those old films do. The thing is a lot of these older films are almost like a work of art. So sometimes they can, as all film is, but sometimes older films, like I love watching them. I do enjoy them because they are almost their own genre now. Like a 1940s film, it's a 40s film. It's got a feel to it.
Especially these Universal horror movies.
But they can, it's like slow. It's very slow, very drawn out, and it's only an hour and 10 minutes. I did feel myself like dozing a little bit.
I think it's because you are full of German food.
Probably. But also,
Sauerkraut.
also, I was like, when they finally do meet, I'm like, all right, here we go, Wolfman, Frankenstein, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah, I'm like, they met for a little bit.
No. Frankenstein meets Wolfman. That part, that title derives from the scene where Larry Talbot's trying to buy the deed to the castle from Baroness Frankenstein.
Is that
they meet?
I suppose, yes. They do.
Because the monster is the monster, not Frankenstein. Like, despite popular belief.
No!
You know what? I also agree with that. That's also been the lifelong complaint about monster fans. Yes, that Frankenstein is not the stumbling monster. It's Frankenstein's monster.
He's just the monster. Yeah.
He's the monster. But technically, he is Frankenstein, because Dr. Frankenstein gave him life. He calls him, like, his creation. It's like his son.
He's part of him.
He is a Frankenstein.
He's Monster Frankenstein. First name Monster. Last name Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Middle name Ben Roethlisberger.
Jesus. After the amount of surgery he's going to have on that elbow, he's going to look like Frankenstein Monster.
Yeah.
Come back, power of 6,000 lives, and throw for 1,600 yards that season.
1,600 is not a lot. Jeez.
He's not going to have a good year.
He usually goes for like 4,000 yards.
How'd you spit on me all the way from over there?
I think you might have spit on yourself.
How did I come on my back?
What have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? It's kind of a weird setup, but it works at the same time. It's like you said, he kind of wakes up. He's woken. He's werewoken. He goes to the gypsy. They go to Frankenstein's village. And from that, he turns into the Wolfman and finds his way into the ruins and finds Frankenstein all iced up in the wine cellar down there, all frozen away in the walk-in freezer. And stumbled in it.
He's getting a Coors Light, and the mountains are a little too blue.
He walked in. He walked in for a Coors, but they only had Bud, and he went nah. And he just stayed.
He's waiting for Coors to come back.
He was waiting for the mountains to be bluer.
That's good.
But he wants some Bumbleberry. Yeah, he kind of lets him out, and the monster's just kind of helping him out, trying to find the records, and from there he decides he's going to seek out Baroness, not from G.I. Joe, and get her help, and like you said, she's at it. She wants it.
She does. As soon as she walks in the room, she's like, not now.
I need to die first.
Time for that later after I kill myself.
Yeah. But it's kind of honestly, it's like really, it's really kind of hard to watch in a couple places because especially nowadays, it's like, calm down, because that's like the whole subject of it. He's like, I want to die.
To say like, he wants to do it to save others.
It could have been a little more subtle.
He knows he kills people when he becomes a werewolf.
Yeah,
he's cursed.
But you know what? We said that's the body count we see. But when the doctor finds him at the little party after he has a little mini freak out with the weird guy is singing, the Trullala guy, the doctor pulls. He's like, "I just followed your path," and he names like 20, he names like 6 or 7 different villages. So I assumed that was like either sightings or deaths.
Mm-hmm.
He was like following the path, the war path,
righteousness. Wait, what? Now that we're at this part in the story, two questions. One, how did that scene make you feel? The Tralala scene.
Pretty uncomfortable, actually. About as uncomfortable as Lawrence was. Like, I was like, stop it! Stop singing!
Let me alone!
Olya, get out of here!
Why would you say that to me?
He's like, I don't want to live, I want to die! I'm like, okay.
That scene divides a lot of people. You either love it or you hate it.
I could see people liking it just because it's so weirdly placed.
I love it. I've always loved it even since I was wee.
Why, though? Why? Can you defend? See, that's the thing. You can't defend it.
Give me a fucking second.
No! He didn't answer right the first time.
It makes me giddy. It's some levity in this dark tale.
I suppose. He doesn't blink, though.
He's
just looking. I'm like,
the life is short.
Well, I wonder why they... Is there a reason they chose to place that in there?
It's like a whole fucking music video.
Yeah, I know. That's
like
the thing.
It's like 3 minutes long.
It's like a... I wonder if they were just trying to, like, push the limit. Like, add a little music to a movie or something. Like, and experiment a little bit.
That musicals are big.
That diegetic sound.
That musicals are big at that time, so why not make it a musical, too?
Yes.
It has action. It has singing.
This song will be on your Spotify playlist tomorrow.
It'll be on your sonogram or what? Sonogram.
It'll be inside your belly tomorrow.
I don't even know what they're called.
In your x-ray.
Not what I said. Shit. As soon as I said it, I was like, wait, what?
I know you looked at me and you're like, oh.
I made a boot. That's what I meant to say. Shit. And my second question, because it divides people too. What did you think of Elsa Frankenstein?
She was a good actress.
She tickled your innards like Mountain Dew.
You know, it's funny because, like, a lot of those old school actresses, a lot of them have, like, the same, like, acting type to them almost, but they always have, like, the same, like, blonde curls. Like, it always seems to be, but she was a lovely lady.
She's a nice lady.
She was a nice lady, lovely lady, beautiful actress. I thought she did a good job. There were some times I'm like, that delivery was a little weird. She's like, I can take you to it. I can do it. And he's like, don't trust her. I'm like, I wouldn't either.
What makes me laugh about that scene is that bartender. He's like, get that Frankenstein woman. She knows those catacombs. And they get her, and she's like, I could take you there if you want. He's like, I don't trust you.
Yeah, no. This is my idea.
I don't wanna.
I wanted to make you talk.
Shit.
I just gotta get drunk and strap some dynamite together. End this film real quick.
And he does, damn it.
Damn it.
Jeez.
We'll get to it.
So, one of my favorite movie factoids about this movie, The Frankenstein Monster. Just this, like we said, this is the fifth Frankenstein monster appearance. And just to briefly go over that story, he gets created in the first one. Second one, he actually learns how to speak. And the third one, he's straight up villain in the third one.
Doesn't he get, like, burn alive?
Yeah, they're in the windmill.
Yeah.
And
that's classic, like the famous
place. Yeah. And
I've seen Alvin the Chipmunk.
Basically, the flames break the floor through and he falls down below into like some water
and freezes again.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Now immediately, like shortly after the flames died down in the sequel Bride of Frankenstein, some villagers like go to confirm his death, but he's still alive, and he stumbles up in the woods and he finds the old blind hermit, and the blind hermit teaches him like some words. Third one, he becomes more of a villain because of the influence of Igor, who in the third one explains he was an assistant of Dr. Frankenstein in the past. And Igor wants revenge. Igor wants revenge. And so he wants to use the son of Frankenstein. That's the title of this movie, Son of Frankenstein, the third one. So he wants to use the Son of Frankenstein to help.
How many children did this man have?
Yeah, many. To make the monster more powerful. And through shenanigans, the monster gets knocked into some sulfur, thus ending
becoming a demon.
The final appearance of Boris Karloff as the monster. Then in the fourth one, like I mentioned, Ghost of Frankenstein.
Why is it called Ghost of Frankenstein if he's not a ghost?
It's probably like the hauntings.
The remnants.
The remnants, yeah. The hauntings of what he created. I haven't seen that one in a long time. I started it the other day. I didn't finish it. But in that one, ultimately, Igor's ultimate plan is to find the other son of Frankenstein, Ludwig Frankenstein.
Ah, yes, indeed.
And have him transfer the brain of Igor into the monster's body. And they're successful. But because of their blood types being different, it causes the Igor monster to go blind, and he smashes into some electrodes, and he becomes deaf, and then a flame bursts out in the castle, and the house, rather, and they all die.
And that's the end.
So here's what's confusing. So they're in, not in the castle, they're in a house. Gets caught on fire. Igor Frankenstein is deaf and blind. Here we are in Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, and he is frozen under the catacombs of a castle. Sure.
He found his way down there. He was looking for a Coors, and they only had Bud.
Explain this.
Yeah.
What's
a German beer?
Heineken. I don't know. Is Heineken German?
I don't know.
Dunkel.
They went down there, and they only had Jägermeister.
Yeah.
It's German.
So, here's the next interesting movie factoid that I was getting to. The monster is blind, and you can tell he is with it, knowing that they don't explain that he's blind. But in the script he's blind, and he's stumbling around with his arms out, like reaching around, and the monster does talk, but because he was also deaf, they had Bela Lugosi play it as with his, you know, Hungarian accent. He was Igor in the previous film. So playing that voice but also deaf, I guess in test screenings, audiences found it humorous.
Are you having so much trouble tonight talking?
You're like, not to burp.
Yeah, you're like talking like William Shatner, but you're like, I am like you're breathing between every single word.
I'm trying, like, I can't get the burp out. It's stuck. Like, come out.
You're like,
come out, damn it. The listeners can't see my struggle.
No, but I can. I'm like, I'm getting tired watching you.
It'll probably play out fine, but
I'm sure it will, but
I'm like,
going to each side of the mic, you're moving around.
How can you be tired? I'm being exciting.
Nah. Indeed.
So, they found it humorous, so they cut the dialogue out. If there was a scene with him with dialogue, they either mute it or cut it out. So he's just a silent monster. I think the only noise he makes is, nah!
It's the only noise you need. We've discussed this.
There are some scenes, though, where he's, like, visibly standing there and his mouth's moving, but no noise comes out.
I don't know.
Yeah. But another thing I find interesting, just a testament to Bela Lugosi's influence on society and culture.
We live in a society.
I've heard. Him stumbling around with his arms extended out, that's the first and only time the Frankenstein monster ever did that.
Really? That's, like, synonymous with it.
Exactly. Like, you, like, do Frankenstein, you're like, with your arms out.
That or Mummy.
Just for that.
Ah.
And that was Bela Lugosi.
It's like Jason, like, in the third, or it's the third one. He dons the hockey mask, but that's, like, synonymous with Jason.
Right. Bela Lugosi also played Dracula in 1931. If anyone does an impression of a Dracula, they do that.
Accent.
Mm-hmm. And in his characters.
Creatures of the night.
I charter the ship that will take us to England tomorrow evening.
Good. You're a weird old guy.
Lon Chaney's like,
I kind of sound like Jimmy Stewart.
He doesn't, though.
No.
He's like, deeper.
And he wants to die.
Believe me. You have to believe me.
Why has no one believed me? I turn into a wolf. Are you crazy? Basically what he's doing. Yeah. It's like, I murder people at night. Why won't you believe me? I get hairy. I grow teeth. Claws, even. Why do you think I need to be in a loony bin? Doesn't make sense.
I'm telling you the truth.
I'm telling you the truth. Why can't you believe me? You found me with a fracture in my skull. I told you I was a man that was dead 4 years ago. I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
You're stupid like all the rest.
Yeah. Stop stinging to me.
You know, another thing I really like about the original Wolfman, like I said, I just watched it the other day. And in the original script, he didn't turn. You never saw him turn into a wolf. You actually never saw the wolf. It's called the Wolf Man, yes, but and especially
more of a Jaws aspect, huh?
No, sort of. The movie was different in that it was about a man
who was convinced that there are werewolves. Mm. So at night, when he wakes up, people are dead. So it becomes the story. It's like, did I kill these people? Did I become a werewolf? Am I convincing myself that I become a werewolf?
It's more like a psychological
thing. It was more of a psychological thing, and you never see him turn into a wolf, and it was always the question, like, does he or didn't he? Like, did he make it all up?
Until the very, very end?
No, I don't think he ever did turn into a wolf. Or maybe he did at the end. I can't remember.
Well, they... Doesn't his dad beat him?
That was in the script. In the movie, they found it probably more marketable, and it would be more successful if they actually showed him as a wolf. Mm. And so they did make Wolfman scenes.
Ah,
with that famous Jack Pierce makeup, and it looks goddamn good.
It does look good. And honestly, the transition scene... I mean, like you said,
for the time?
For the time, it looks fantastic, but also, like, to do that, like, hours and hours of stop motion. Yeah. He was just standing there, like...
Like, take a nap.
It had to have, like, a TV or something in there, like, for him to look at the entire time.
Just Elsa Frankenstein, so...
Yeah, there he is. But, yeah, let's talk about the finale, the final fight. The Dr. Frank comes in. And he tells the villagers that he is going to kill the monster because the monster was created by supernatural means. A supernatural mean is what it will take to kill the monster. He needs to, like, reverse the process artificially. But also he's going to kill the Wolfman at the same time.
Suck their energies at.
But for whatever reason, he does what every other person ever does when they discover Dr. Frankenstein's book, be it in Young Frankenstein, be it any other person who stumbled upon it. They get hunger. They get the hunger for that power and the knowing, the knowledge. They're scientists, damn it. And all scientists are crazy. He says, I can't kill Frankenstein's monster. I have to see it at its full power.
You're like...
Why? Like, it made no sense. He's like, I need to see it stronger, because now it can beat the fuck out of me, but I want it bigger.
Even when he's, like, juicing it up, you can tell, like, the monster, like, kind of wakes up and looks over and smiles.
Yeah, he's like, it's Igor in there. Getting stronger.
And that's what that was another thing. I forgot to mention that, too. Another reason they cut the dialogue out is because a lot of it was about the Igor's Frankenstein monster explaining that he's like hungry for world domination and he will, you know, take over the earth and all this. And this movie was filmed and released during World War II. Mm. They found it a little too reminiscent of old Adolf Hitler.
Gotcha.
So just what his ideals and stuff like that. So they're like, well, we better cut that.
Well, they juice up old Frankenstein. He rips out of that, and immediately Dr. Frank gets beat up.
Set.
But then also, the Wolfman over there, Max Talbot of Penguins fame.
Max Talbot.
He was a Penguins player.
yes, sir.
Back in the day. Lawrence Talbot turns into the Wolfman. He tears out of that little jacket there, and him and Frankenstein just start throwing each other at each other.
Tussle.
That's basically what they're doing. They're doing a lot of, like, he's jumping and just kind of tackling. It's like a lot of rolling. A lot of rolling around. Now, I don't know what an actual, like, a fight, if one happened today, what it would look like. Probably more reminiscent of Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing. Dracula versus Hugh Jackman as Wolfman.
That movie fucks.
Movie does fuck, but it looks really bad now.
Well, CGI has come a long way.
It has, but that movie is like a CGI fest before things deserve to be CGI fests.
That's another one in my Spooky Month repertoire I like to watch every now and then. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while. But
it's a fun movie because it's kind of like just a mashup of everything you want.
A,
like,
monster mash?
Yeah, there's like werewolves, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dracula, there's Frankenstein's in that. It's Van Helsing's,
would
Hugh
you
Jackman.
Say it's a graveyard
Kate Beckinsale.
Smash?
I would. Kate Beckinsale's in it. It's good. Mm, it's great. It's good. But yeah, they just kind of tussle around a little bit for like, what, 2-3 minutes? And then the crazy drunk guy blows the dam and drowns them all. And then it just says at the end. Okay.
You looked up like, really?
Yeah, that's the end, I guess. See you again in the sequel.
I might have missed it, but what happened to Maliva? The
That little gypsy woman. She was in there.
She was never really there.
No one ever saw her.
She never woke up. Yeah, that's the thing that I was, like, telling you, too. I'm like, all right, they say they can't kill him. They're like, let's try water. We've tried fire. Let's tried try another element. Silver. It's sure to work.
Yeah, just drown the bastard.
Yeah, so that's what I always thought. Like, if you, just speaking of Wolfman, let's talk about Wolverine for a second. If you took Wolverine, he's made of adamantium. It's got to be heavy, right? Wouldn't he sink?
Yeah, don't they do that in Days of Future Past?
I don't remember. I only saw that movie once.
Yeah, I saw it once.
I always thought that, though, like, isn't that a way you could technically kill him? Is just drop him in, like, a lake?
As soon as you pull him back up, he'd cough it up, he'd be fine.
Would he, though?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's ask you, Jackman. he'll know.
Indeed a classic, very influential for films to come, especially versus movies, Monster Mash movies. After this movie, there were a lot of Monster Mash movies like House of Frankenstein, House of Dracula, and even meat movies like Abbott and Costello, meat Frankenstein, meat the Mummy, meat the Invisible Man.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, meat Frankenstein.
It's not the first time you mentioned that on this.
I know, but because I remember it.
I think all the Scooby-Doos.
Sammy's squirrel, squirrel, squirrel.
You know,
smartest little rodent in the world. He can do anything and everything. Or no, he can do everything and anything at all. Sammy, he's a super-duper squirrel. That is from Alvin and the Chipmunks, Frankenstein. I know it because I've seen it more times than regular Frankenstein.
Seen it more times than God.
Jesus.
You've seen it more times.
What was that? It is my religion.
Alvin and the Chipmunks meet Frankenstein is the word.
That was a psalm I just said to you.
Scooby-Doo meets Don Knotts.
Scooby-Doo meets Don Knotts beats Sam and Dean.
Whoa, they've met them too.
They have.
So, yeah, a classic indeed, whether you love it or hate it. I love it, personally.
Oh, yeah,
it's not for everyone.
I mean, yeah, it definitely isn't for everyone. I appreciate these films. I enjoy watching older films, because they don't make them like they used to.
I would love for new movies to be made today. They tried with the monster, the MCU, the Monster Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
They're going to kick it off with The Mummy, but that movie bombed so bad that they're like, nah.
Their idea was just stupid.
Exactly.
Because it would work. It would work.
What I want is to make sequels to these old-ass movies,
yeah,
but make them look and feel like the 40s.
They'd have to do it like, what was that movie a couple years back? The Artist. Where it was like all in black and white, and it was a silent film.
Make it older.
Yeah, do it that
even,
stuff.
Even, like, this is also older, but Young Frankenstein came out in the 70s. Mm-hmm. It looked like it came out in the 30s.
Yeah. Didn't they shoot it with the same cameras?
Yeah. I personally would want to see those.
What's James Cameron doing? He'd do it. He'd be like, let's make new cameras that are shitty.
Well, what if we did it?
What if we came out with this film today?
Yeah, what if we figured out if this movie, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, were to come out today, on this day, 2019, who would star? Who would direct? Who would survive the factory?
Yes. At this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. This is where we imagine what the film would look like if we were to have it with modern booking. New director, new composer, new actors and actresses. For today's film, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, we are going to be doing director. We're going to skip out on composer because, honestly, music for these old school films, so, like you said, you wanted it to be more to the time if they were to do a movie that, like, was a sequel to this. So that music is just so synonymous with these types of films. So we're just going to keep the music the same, not going to worry about the composer. Wolfman, Lawrence Talbot, we're going to recast. We're going to also recast Dr. Frank. We're going to recast Frankenstein, aka the monster. And then lastly, Elsa, Baroness Frankenstein. So, with that being said, director, who do you have in mind?
I'm going with a modern day. I don't want to say classic horror icon because he's really branched off from that. But I'd like him to return. That would be Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi.
He did the Evil Dead trilogy, which were some of his first films, and kind of what gave him that boost, the step towards fame and making these big budget movies. He also did The Dark Man, or the first Dark Man. He made, what else did he make? How about the Spider-Man trilogy? The best one.
The scariest.
Tobey Maguire. And nothing more terrifying than emo Peter Parker.
Nothing more terrifying than Pizza Time.
Nothing more terrifying than Topher Grace's Venom. Or, truly, nothing more terrifying than Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin. But and he also made Drag Me to Hell. Did you ever watch Drag Me to Hell?
No, but I know it's like one of the most terrifying PG-13 movies out there.
It suffers from a couple scenes with some bad CGI, but some of the scenes, the suspense and the build up to some scares is
she
yuck.
Does get dragged to hell at the end, correct?
Little bit.
Spoilers.
They might have spoiled it in the name of the movie.
Yeah. And in the poster of her being dragged to hell.
But yeah.
Isn't it just because she's like mean to a lady, like an old lady?
Like an old gypsy woman.
Yeah.
Place a curse on her.
To drag her to hell.
So, Evil Dead trilogy, though, mostly. He produced that show, Ash vs. Evil Dead. He's got his unique touch. When you see a Sam Raimi film, you know what you're in for.
Crawl just came out as well, that he produced.
Okay.
Crawl, that movie.
I wanted to see that.
It's it just came out on Vudu. It's digital right now, if you want it on digital.
Check it out.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if you can rent it yet, but if you can, we got credit. So with mine, I went with someone who is really well known, I think mostly strictly for their work on horror films. They've been known to change the genre, if not push the genre to new limits, on, I would say, two separate occasions. And he's also done up a tag team or a meetup mashup film of his own. That's Wes Craven.
You know, we can't do that.
Why?
Wes Craven's been dead for some time.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I honestly looked him up while we were watching it, and I didn't see anything on Wes Craven.
Yeah, he passed away a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
From what?
I think it was cancer.
Oh, no, I feel bad. I literally researched all his movies and stuff.
Yeah, he died in 2015.
Oh. I literally looked at everything because I was thinking, I was like, all right, Scream 4 just came out a couple years back.
Yeah, in 2013 or something.
Yeah, I was like, I really like all Wes Craven stuff, and he did recreate basically the horror genre twice with
a couple times.
Nightmare on Elm Street and then with Scream. Well, we're going to still throw him in the loop here.
He died of brain cancer.
Oh, man. I honestly did, because I never look at Wikipedia. I always go IMDb. If Wikipedia tells you immediately, I always look at IMDb and the movies they made and stuff. Yeah. That's a first on the pod.
Whoops.
Yeah. But no, we'll still throw. All right, let's
you
do.
You can't just throw him in there.
Posthumous.
You can't. That's
Heath Ledger won a posthumous Oscar.
That was the same year. You're a little late. You can't just throw any.
Steven Spielberg. All right, Steven Spielberg. Yes.
This Frankenstein's old man.
Yeah, he was the only director I had. I looked him up during the movie.
But I guess I win.
That sucks. Now I feel bad.
Jeez. I was like, no, you can't do that. He's not here.
Oh, that sucks. I liked Wes Craven.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I had that movie.
Jesus.
Well, guess
I was starting to wonder how he's doing.
Whoops. All right. Well, Elsa.
Oh, shit. How do you start? I got to see some anyway.
Posthumous.
Fuck. That.
Stanley Kubrick.
Dangerous. So mine, My Elsa Frankenstein is going to be actress Diane Kruger. She, you've seen her in National Treasure. You've seen her in Inglourious Bastards.
I have not seen her in either.
What?
I have seen National Treasure and I have not seen Inglourious Bastards.
You don't make any sense. What do you mean?
I haven't seen either.
You haven't seen them steal the Declaration of Independence?
Nah.
Have you seen Troy?
Yeah.
With Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt,
yeah. It's been a while. It was a while ago. That movie kind of sucks.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to see if...
Well, she's dead, so we can't use her.
She's alive and kicking. And she is charming. So, what else you got? What other actress that is past can you use here?
Stop it! So, for mine, I wanted a high-class woman. Someone who's played... she's a German, yeah? The actress
she played German.
The actress was Austrian.
Austria.
I wanted someone. Shut up! And now I almost stopped right there and was like, "How about we cut that out? Let me look something up real quick." And now I'm lost my train of thought. Who are we on? Laura Dern.
Elsa Frankenstein. Do we need to take a pause?
Nah. Okay. Nah. We're good. Madeline. No, so honestly, when I was thinking about it, originally, my original pick was Keira Knightley. But then you told me the actress was Austrian. And so I was like looking. And I was trying. And the only other person that kept coming to mind isn't an Austrian actress. And I've used her too many times. And it'd be kind of typecasting in a sense. Not really. But you know, Austrian, German, she's not to my knowledge, has played a German before. But she's played a Russian. And that was Scarlett Johansson. I don't know why I kept coming to that with, like, Natasha Romanoff from as Black Widow. I kept coming to her. We used her a lot at the beginning when we first started the podcast.
It's been a while,
way back when, but
yeah.
We haven't.
There was a time where it was, like, every week she was mentioned, but then we stopped. So it's been a minute.
But I was kind of thinking, I was like, oh, she's blonde. She can do an accent if she has to. I thought, I like Scarlett Johansson, too. I'd like to see her in a movie.
You're so. Like, how's she doing? She dead yet?
Jesus. Shut up! First time I ever screwed up.
That's true.
I haven't been choking on air the whole podcast.
Don't get defensive. Just
I am!
Wrong.
Don't get defensive because I mentioned a guy that was dead. I'm like, why can't we use him?
Oh, God. That'd be like, I'm going to cast Alan Rickman in this. Like, no, you can't.
I wanted to. I really did.
You can't. He's
he would have been perfect, though, right? Like, he would have been perfect
for someone. Yeah.
For someone, yeah. Oh, I was kept thinking of him as the mayor for some reason.
Like, in this movie.
Yeah, the mayor of the town, like a little more pep in a step, or honestly, the inspector.
I would like him to have played that Follow Law, Follow D singer guy. But he would sing it like in Sweeney Todd.
I haven't seen Sweeney Todd either, so. Heads, Scarlett Johansson. Tails, Diane Kruger.
Diane Kruger, she's charming.
Heads.
Jesus.
Sorry, kid. You lost. That makes up for your mistake.
My mistake. My mistake, please.
Frank. Not Frankenstein. Frank. Dr. Frank.
Oh, we're doing Dr. Frank, too?
Yes.
I did not know
this. Then we'll work on it together. Maybe if you're listening to the intro and not picking dead directors, you'd know. Chris Evans, put him in. I don't know.
Fuck it.
Robert Downey Jr., what is he doing now?
Is he dead yet? How about Benedict Cumberbatch?
He hasn't played a doctor before. I don't know if he could pull it off. I'm joking.
Oh, wait, he was Dr. Strange.
It's a joke! He's Doctor Strange, and he's Doctor Watson.
No, he's not. He's Sherlock.
Oh, he's Sherlock. And who? It's
your boy.
Going on an adventure.
Yeah, I'm brain dead too. What's his name? Fuck.
Martin Freeman. No.
Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman.
Yes.
Yes. Martin Freeman. Matthew McConaughey. Hey, come here. I'm just gonna. I can't kill him. What if we just give him like a rocking set of ass?
What if what if Matthew McConaughey, all right, played Elsa Frankenstein?
Ah, yes. Well, the thing is when they go to leave the castle, they'd be driving to Lincoln. That's the only thing.
What if he was Larry Talbot, and him and Maliva were riding to Germany to find Frankenstein, but they're not riding a carriage. It's Lincoln.
Yeah, they're just rubbing their fingers together a little bit. Just real slow. Tars, get out. Tars, get her.
Shit.
All right.
I said Benedict Cumberbatch for Frank.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch for Frank, sure. Maybe.
We're making Afraid a Marvel not. Movie, apparently.
Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch is a good pick. He's a good pick. He's played a doctor before. He's played a scientist before. Fuck. Guess we're doing Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm the one who didn't know we were casting him.
Well, I wanted to play off yours.
we decided we were going to find it out together. And we did.
I didn't have one. Frankenstein. Or, yeah, we'll go the Frankenstein. Because honestly, I feel like Wolfman's a bigger character in this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I feel like he has more levity to his character.
Yeah, and you know, in this film too, like the monster doesn't have much dialogue. He's more of an imposing force. So I'm actually going with actor Derek Myers. I was gonna say Mears, but I think it's Derek Myers. He plays Jason Voorhees in the remake, the 2009 one. He's recently played Swamp Thing in that TV show that only got to last one season. He's also recently in I Lead a Battle Angel, as well as he plays like the big predators now and like under the suit. So he's more like a stunt actor. Not a lot of dialogue. He's a big boy, that's for sure. I think he's over 7 feet. Or no, maybe not 7 feet. He's tall. He's like 6'5". But he's an imposing force for sure. And he's known for playing these intimidating characters, like a Swamp Thing, like Jason Voorhees, especially nowadays.
So the guy that I had in mind actually did play Jason way back when. He's older. For the life of me, because I couldn't remember, he didn't always play Jason. I couldn't find which one he was in.
Kane Hodder?
Yeah. I couldn't figure out which specific one he played Jason, but I thought, I was like,
he's in a few
monster.
Of them.
He doesn't need to be, like you said.
Six.
Didn't
Six, seven, eight, and nine.
He's a big dude.
And ten.
He's
and
a
ten.
Big dude. He's, like you said, used to being a lumbering character, a big guy. And I've watched things with him in it. He actually, I watched a lot of Ghost Adventures, one of my guilty pleasures. And he was actually in an episode because him, some Hollywood like horror movie producer and the guy who played Leatherface have their own like Hollywood ghost hunting thing where they like do ghost tours and stuff, and they like go ghost hunting and do their own thing. So I've like watched videos with them, but he's a really cool guy. But also like he likes to live the part, and he, like you said, the monster doesn't have much to do other than kind of be a lumbering force, a big force. And I think, you know, he's made a living, he's made a career off of being that, much like yours as well. So Kane Hodder was my choice for that. So we will flip for that if it's all righty. Do you have anything to say about Kane Hodder, I guess?
I mean, he's really just famous for playing Jason in, I guess, five total of the films. 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. He's horror icon.
Indeed.
He's also a big boy.
Heads, Kane Hodder. Tails, Derek Myers. Darren Michael Myers.
Which Jason Voorhees will win?
Tails. Derek Myers.
Myers.
Alrighty. Last but not least, Wolfman.
Something I really like about Lon Chaney Jr.'s performance as Larry Talbot and the Wolfman, but mainly Larry Talbot, is his innocence, his sincerity. You don't.
So you're going with Tom Holland?
No,
Stark. I don't know.
I'm going Holland. You don't really get to see that side of him so much in this film, but in the Wolfman you do. In this, he's more like in the panic, more the nervous mode. But this is a first-time pull, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to go Misha Collins.
Misha Collins.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever done Misha Collins before.
Yeah. I see him as Larry Talbot, and then when he becomes Wolfman, he's a little smaller, right? And at least in comparison to someone like Derek Myers. So I would like to see that visual, the small, quick, agile wolf against the big Frankenstein when they meet, Misha. You know.
Oh, Misha, baby.
I thought maybe we used Misha before, or tried to maybe, but you got something there? You got something, boy?
No, I was trying to think if we used him back with Dracula for some reason. I don't know why, but no, we didn't use him in Dracula. So Misha Collins. I like Misha Collins. So my pick, a little more star power than Misha. Not to say that Misha Collins doesn't have star power, but he is famous mostly. He played a big part in 24. I don't know if you knew that or not, that he was like big part in the first season 24. He's like one of the primary terrorists. He's like one of the primary bad guys in that show. But a little more star power. And I think could pull off, I mean, I've seen him pull off through a handful of movies. Like you said, we're making a Marvel movie, but pull off a range of different things, and that's Tom Hiddleston. Tom Hiddleston is the Wolfman. He can be very, I mean, he's not a big guy by any sense of the mean, but if you turn him, modern CGI and stuff, turn him into a Wolfman, it could be very imposing. So, Tom Hiddleston was my choice. Famous for Loki, now he's going to have his own TV show. I was going to say maybe he'll move on now, but he's going to have his own, like, low-key TV show.
That's right.
Did you
ever see Crimson Peak, the Guillermo del Toro film?
No, I remember hearing of it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty good in that.
There's something else he's going to be in, or he is in.
Kong, Skull Island.
Kong, Skull Island. No, that's not it, though. But, Tom Hiddleston, I think, through his portrayal of Loki, is why I say that he could probably pull this character off of being, like, really antsy, but really manipulative, or really, you know, like what I'm kind of picking up on what I'm saying there, I guess. But, heads, we'll go with Tom Hiddleston. Tails, Misha, baby. Tails, Misha Collins.
Misha Collins.
All right, well.
Leading role.
Minus your little screw-up with the director. We have our film here. Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, directed by Sam Raimi. Our Elsa Frankenstein, played by Scarlett Johansson. Frankenstein, played by Derek Myers. Frank, Dr. Frank, played by Benedict Cumberbatch. And the Wolfman, played by Misha Collins. So that is that. Before we get going, do you have a question?
If you could have another mashup of two horror monsters, it could be a Frankenstein, could be a Wolfman. These can't be against each other. Who would it be?
Does it have to be either of the two?
No, I'm just
can
saying.
It be, and also,
any
can
mashup.
Can it be? Does it have to be like a classic Universal monster?
Yeah, I want a classic stuff.
Haven't they done mashups of pretty much all of them?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I mean, the Mummy and Frankenstein, has that happened? Because they're basically the same.
A little bit.
They just be real slow.
Lon Chaney's played both of them.
Dracula and the Wolfman would be fun, because that's basically what we've seen. Now, I feel like that has happened. Hasn't?
No.
Really?
They're working on a script.
Thinking of Van Helsing.
Came through.
Yeah. That is basically what happens in Van Helsing. But doesn't Dracula turn into a wolf in that movie?
In the first one.
In Van Helsing?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He can turn into a wolf. And he turns into
that,
one in
that always throws me. Because, yeah,
what's
he
that?
Does. In the
it's a big dog running across the lawn.
Yeah. And the Dracula and Wolfman would probably be the most intense. Also, Invisible Man v. something would be cool. Like, if it was, like, an actual fight. Like, Invisible Man versus Dracula. But I feel like Dracula would be able to pick up on that shit. Same with Wolfman. Like, they'd be able to smell him.
Smell him,
I can smell you. So...
What about the Invisible Man versus the Creature from the Black Lagoon? Swimming, like, where the fuck did he go?
He just rams into him underwater. There's a glass tank here. Yeah, now that, what, you? Alright, no, I'll reverse the lettuce. Reversing the lettuce. any horror movie, be a ghost, it could be a haunting, mash them together. What do you got? You can take, like, nice Annabelle and Chucky.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Brahms versus Chucky.
Brahms, Jesus.
Did you see they're coming out with a sequel to that?
Brahms a big boy.
It's called Brahms the Boy 2.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
What's gonna... Didn't they kill him at the end of the boy?
I think they did.
Yeah. Guess he's back. That movie's weird. It's good. It does... That movie subverts all expectations.
Hey, it's a good date movie.
It was. It was a good date movie. But at the end, like, it literally, I did not expect what happened at the end. It took a turn. And I was like, ooh, really? Yeah. Yeah, any movie.
I'd like to stick with the classics. I'd like to stick with the...
Not Freddy vs. Jason either.
Yeah, I'm going to stick classics. I'm going to go Frankenstein vs. Dracula.
Boring.
Frankenstein meets Dracula.
You could do, like, Michael Myers versus Jason. You could do... The masks from Halloween 3 versus Michael Myers.
This is a fantasy too, but I'd like Freddy Krueger. Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Versus Dracula.
Versus
Terminator.
Yeah, I'll keep that one. Versus Wes Craven.
Shut up!
Wes would win.
What about, If Dracula fought off against
Dracula versus Jack Burton.
He's screwed.
I want the fantasy never happened, but Bubba Nosferatu. Elvis versus Nosferatu.
What about if you took Dracula facing Freddy Krueger? Is Dracula a dream? Do we know? Can we tell? Would Freddy Krueger be able to get to him?
Would he be able to kill him?
I don't know.
He's undead.
Can you kill him? Could you kill Dracula in his dream? Let us know. But until next week, everyone, that is the show. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had a good laugh with us. So if you did enjoy what you heard, be sure to check us out on all podcasting sites. Check us out first on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we're going to be posting our show to first. Then you can follow us over there, and then it submits it out everywhere else, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you find your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us all at Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod, and you can check us out there. We'll be posting GIFs and memes that Gus makes. We'll be posting what movie we're going to be watching that week, when our show goes live, etc. So be sure to check us out. Give us a follow over there. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You'll find us there. And you type in The Brother Movie Factory. What the fuck?
I became a German now and look good. And Dracula doesn't even know what accent he has.
Where the fuck am I from? And yeah, you go to Facebook, Brothers Movie Factory, like us, share us. I post pictures and memes of what we're watching each and every week, as well as links to the things Ben mentioned just a moment ago, Spotify, Twitter, Audio Boom, and that.
And also, everyone, as you may know, I mentioned it last week, we're getting into a little thing called 8-Bit Horror Fest. Just started today as we are recording it, actually. 8-Bit Geek is a podcast network that we are fans of. They hold every October 8-Bit Horror Fest, where they get other pods to come in and collaborate and review horror movies. So the theme this year is remakes and what's the other word? I'm losing
reboots.
It. Reboots. I almost said remakes. Reboot. And results. I'm still thrown off. Remakes and reboots. So we did The Thing. So stay tuned for that episode releasing over on their site. And you can find them if you search up the 8-Bit Geek. They're going to be releasing a lot of great content here over the rest of the month. Today they released their very first episode. It was another podcast that they released, and they reviewed
the Poltergeist 2015 remake. So be sure to go over there, check them out. It's a lot of fun, all right? So we're looking forward to that. But until next week, brothers.
Mah.
Mah. Mah.